Chapter 7. On with the Dance. The Wintersmith and the Summer Lady danced. The dance never ended. Winter never dies, not as people die. It hangs on in late frost and the smell of autumn in a summer evening, and in the heat it flees to the mountains. Summer never dies. It sinks into the ground. In the depths, winter buds form in sheltered places and white shoots creep under dead leaves. Some of it flees into the deepest, hottest deserts, where there is a summer that never ends. To animals, they were just the weather, just part of everything. But humans arose and gave them names, just as people filled the starry sky with heroes and monsters, because this turned them into stories. And humans loved stories, because once you turned things into stories, you could change the stories. And there was the problem, right there. Now, the lady and the Wintersmith danced around the year, changing places in the spring and autumn, and it had worked for thousands of years, right up until the time a girl couldn't control her feet and had arrived in the dance at exactly the wrong time. But the story had life too. It was like a play now. It would roll on around the year, and if one of the players wasn't the real actress, but just some girl who'd wandered onto the stage, well, that was too bad. She'd have to wear the costume and speak the lines and hope that there was going to be a happy ending. Change the story, even if you don't mean to, and the story changes you. Miss Tick used a lot more words than this, like anthropomorphic personification, but this was what ended up in Tiffany's head. "So, I'm not a goddess," she said. "Oh, I wish I had a blackboard," Miss Tick sighed. "They really don't survive the water, though, and of course the chalks get so soggy." "What we think happened in the dance," Granny Weatherwax began in a loud voice, "is that you and the Summer Lady got mixed up."
"Mixed up?"
"You may have some of her talents. The myth of the Summer Lady says that flowers grow wherever she walks," said Granny Weatherwax.
"Where'er," said Miss Tick primly.
"What?" snapped Granny, who was now pacing up and down in front of the fire.
"It's, where'er she walks, in fact," said Miss Tick. "It's more poetical."
"Ha!" Granny said. "Poetry."
"Am I going to get into trouble about this?" Tiffany wondered.
"And what about the real Summer Lady? Is she going to be angry?" she asked.
Granny Weatherwax stopped pacing and looked at Miss Tick, who said,
"Ah, yes, we are exploring every possibility."
"That means we don't know," said Granny. "That's the truth of it. This is about gods, see? But yes, since you ask, they can be a bit touchy."
"I didn't see her in the dance," said Tiffany.
"Did you see the Wintersmith?"
"Well, no," said Tiffany. How could she describe that wonderful, endless, golden spinning moment? It went beyond bodies and thoughts. But it had sounded as though two people had said, "Who are you?" She pulled her boots back on.
Where is she now?"
she asked as she tied the laces. Perhaps she'd have to run.
"She's probably gone back underground for the winter. The Summer Lady doesn't walk above ground in winter."
"Up until now," said Nanny Ogg cheerfully. She seemed to be enjoying this.
"Ah, Mrs. Ogg has put her finger on the other problem," said Miss Tick. "The, Wintersmith and the Summer Lady are, that is, they've never..."
She looked imploringly at Nanny Ogg.
"They've never met except in the dance," said Nanny. "But now here you are, and you feel like the Summer Lady to him, walking around as bold as brass in the winter time, so you might be, oh, how shall I put it?"
"Exciting his romantic propensities," said Miss Tick quickly.
"I wasn't going to describe it quite like that," said Nanny Ogg. "Yes, I suspect you weren't," said Granny. "I suspect you was going to use language."
Tiffany definitely heard the capital L, which entirely suggested that the language she was thinking of was not to be uttered in polite company. Nanny stood up and tried to look haughty, which is hard to do when you have a face like a happy apple.
"I was actually going to draw Tiff's attention to this," she said, taking an ornament off the crowded mantelpiece.
It was a little house. Tiffany had glanced at it before. It had two little doorways at the front, and, at the moment, a tiny little wooden man with a top hat.
"It's called a weather house," Nanny said, handing it to Tiffany. "I don't know how it works. There's a bit of special string or something, but there's a little wooden man who comes out if it's going to rain, and a little wooden woman who comes out when it's going to be sunny. But they're on a little pivoty thing, see? They can never be out at the same time, see? Never. And I can't help wondering, when the weather's changing, if the little man sees the little woman out of the corner of his eye and wonders..."
"Is this about sex?" asked Tiffany. Miss Tick looked at the ceiling. Granny Weatherwax cleared her throat. Nanny gave a huge laugh that would have embarrassed even the little wooden man.
Sex, she said, between summer and winter? Now there's a thought.
Don't think it, said Granny Weatherwax sternly. She turned to Tiffany.
He's fascinated by you, that's what it is. And we don't know how much the summer lady's power is in you. She might be quite weak.
You'll have to be a summer in winter until winter ends, she added flatly.
That's justice. No excuses. You made a choice. You get what you choose.
Couldn't I just go and find her and say I'm sorry, Tiffany began.
No. The old gods ain't big on sorry, said Granny, pacing up and down again. They know it's just a word.
You know what I think, said Nanny.
I think she's watching you, Tiff. She's saying to herself, who's this hoity-toity young madam stepping into my shoes? Well, let's make her walk a mile in her and see how she likes it.
Mrs. Ogg may have something there, said Miss Tick, who was leafing through Chaffinch's mythology. The gods expect you to pay for your mistakes. Nanny Ogg patted Tiffany's hand.
If she wants to see what you can do, show her what you can do, Tiff, eh? That's the way. Surprise her.
You mean the summer lady, said Tiffany. Nanny winked.
Oh, and the summer lady too.
There was what sounded very much like the start of a laugh from Miss Tick before Granny Weatherwax glared at her. Tiffany sighed. It was all very well to talk about choices, but she had no choice here.
All right. What else can I expect apart from, well, defeat?
I'm checking, said Miss Tick, still thumbing through the book. Ah, it says here that she was, I mean is, fairer than all the stars in heaven.
They all looked at Tiffany.
You could try doing something with your hair, said Nanny Ogg after a while.
Like what? Said Tiffany.
Like anything, really.
Apart from the feet and doing something with my hair, said Tiffany sharply,
is there anything else?
It says here, quoting a very old manuscript, she waketh the grasses in April and filleth the beehives with honey sweet,
Miss Tick reported.
How do I do that?
I don't know, but I suspect that happens anyway, said Miss Tick.
And the summer lady gets the credit?
I think she just has to exist for it to happen, really, said Miss Tick.
Anything else?
Yes, you have to make sure the winter ends, said Miss Tick. And, of course, deal with the wintersmith.
And how do I do that?
We think that you just have to be there, said Granny Weatherwax. Or perhaps you'll know what to do when the time comes.
Meep.
Beware, said Tiffany.
Everywhere. Anywhere.
Granny, your hat squeaked, said Tiffany. It went meep.
No, it didn't, Granny said sharply.
It did, you know, said Nanny Ogg. I heard it too.
Granny Weatherwax grunted and pulled off her hat. The white kitten, curled around her tight bun of hair, blinked in the light.
I can't help it, Granny muttered. If I leave the dratted thing alone, it goes under the dresser and cries and cries.
She looked around at the others as if daring them to say anything.
Anyway, she added, it keeps my head warm.
On his chair, the yellow slit of Grebo's left eye opened lazily.
Get down, you, said Granny, lifting the kitten off her head and putting it on the floor. I dare say Mrs. Ogg has got some milk in the kitchen.
Not much, said Nanny. I swear someone's been drinking it.
Grebo's eye opened all the way, and he began to growl softly.
You sure you know what you're doing, Esme? Said Nanny Ogg, reaching for a cushion to throw. He's very protective of his territory.
You, the kitten, sat on the floor and washed her ears. Then, as Grebo got to his feet, she fixed him with an innocent little stare and took a flying leap onto his nose, landing on it with all her claws out.
So is she, said Granny Weatherwax,
as Grebo erupted from the chair and hurtled around the room before disappearing into the kitchen. There was a crash of saucepans, followed by the groing of a saucepan lid spinning into silence on the floor. The kitten padded back into the room, hopped into the empty chair and curled up.
He brought in half a wolf last week, said Nanny Ogg. You haven't been hexperimenting on that poor kitten, have you?
Experiment, to use magic, just to see what happens.
I wouldn't dream of such a thing, said Granny. She just knows her own mind, that's all.
She turned to Tiffany.
I don't reckon the Wintersmith will be worrying about you too much for a while, she said. The big winter weather will be on us soon. That'll keep him busy. In the meantime, Mrs. Ogg will teach you things she knows.
And Tiffany thought, I wonder how embarrassing this is going to be.